evening, folks. Good to see you here tonight. We had a ton of announcements this morning, didn't we? We're not going to do it again. Read your bulletin. They're all there. But please keep in mind everything that's going on. The one thing I didn't mention this morning is the young campers that are leaving for camp tomorrow morning. Is that 8 o'clock we're leaving? 8:45. My wife's driving. She doesn't need as much time to get there. So 8:45, they're leaving, and make sure you have your youngsters here a little bit before then so we can get their stuff loaded on the bus. And then the parade on Thursday, meet at the fairgrounds at 9:30. Just look for the Phony Pony. So I believe it's roadworthy, and we're going to take it out this year. I did find out at choir practice that it was in the parade at least one other time that this person knew of. And it was back in the days of Mayor Jim Montgomery. And he was the judge of the floats. And he asked his daughter to pick one. She picked the Phony Pony. So I guess we won the float that year, the best looking float. But we're going to have it in again this year. And then our 4th of July picnic, starting at 4:30, we'll be eating at 5. Hope as many of you as possible can make it. And then you just stay as long as you want, leave whenever. I know everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people have firework plans for Thursday night. So hopefully you'll be able to make it here to church. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your love. We do thank you for the freedom that we're celebrating this week with our country's 4th of July celebrations. But Lord, we would be remiss if we did not honor and glorify you for the freedom that you've allowed us to have. And we thank you for that. God, I pray that we would be worthy of that freedom in the way that we live our lives and let our light shine in this free country that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Rejoice in the Lord. The piano and organ were just playing it. Let's sing together. Thank you. together that course, Every Day with Jesus, page 254 in your books. Seated. We'll ask our ushers if they would come. And Larry, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, once again, we do thank you for your love and kindness. You watch care us, Lord. We just praise you for being God of love and your heart. Thank you for the sunshine, Lord. Ask you to just guide us and help us to be better Christians, Lord. Help us want to love you more and serve you more. Guide and direct, bless the gift you've given out for us. Ask in your holy name. Amen. Amen.
I grew up with my hand on my heart. My church and friends and family did the same. 40 years ago, my cousin did his part. And that's where I got my name. I grew up knowing God has blessed our nation. His sovereign hand blessed red and white and blue. But I'm looking at my children's generation, and I see that there's important things to do.
Preserve what's left, save the rest of what our nation used to be. Do your part, hand on your heart, to see our nation blessed again. Look within, turn from sin, walk the aisle no longer trod.
Then live like it all depends on you, and pray like it all depends on God. Don't blame the lost man for godless living. They don't know the God you claim to know. If the truth were told, there's none of us deserving. But our faith in Christ should set our lives aglow.
Our nation's biggest need is a revival. That doesn't start up there, it starts right here with me.
On the one hand, begging God to save the sinner.
On the other, fight for life and liberty. Preserve what's left, save the rest, and tell your kids what used to be. Do your part, hand on your heart, to see our nation blessed again. Look within, turn from sin, walk that aisle no longer trod.
Then live like it all depends on you,
and pray like it all depends on God.
Family, and maybe some of you know of him, maybe not. He went into started the music ministry, preaching ministry back when I was in Georgetown, Illinois, and he was just getting started with that. He is a one-man choir. After church, you can search for him on YouTube. After church. And he does this thing with recording and singing all of the different parts and adding parts and then blending his voice all together. And it's just amazing. And he does the same thing with video. So you'll watch a video and you'll see 8 or 9 of him on a church platform all singing. It's kind of creepy, but it's good. It's really good. If you would, let's stand one more time. Let's sing about America the Beautiful. Here tonight, and honestly, the only reason I haven't come is because that's how we get his dad here. Good to have you with us, Morris. Yeah, we've been praying for you and your wife, and I'm glad his son, Morris Jr., can be here tonight as well to preach for us. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Brother McPhillips. If you would tonight, open your Bible, please, to Luke chapter number 11. Luke number 11, and I want you to think about this passage of Scripture and kind of set it up. This message is Jesus' lessons on prayer. And as you think about the 11th chapter of Luke, you're getting close to the time of Jesus Christ going to the cross. So you want to keep that in mind. It's really interesting when you study the New Testament and look at what's going on with the Lord and the disciples and everything in that book and in the New Testament, the four Gospels, and kind of look at it through the line of the timeline. At chapter 11, at the first verse there, he's teaching them how to pray. And it goes like this, "Our Father which art in heaven." That's the model prayer. But it's interesting, one of the disciples asks him a question, teach us to pray. And as, you know, I'm thinking, he's probably thinking, yeah, in so many weeks I'm going to be on the cross, or so many, not exactly sure, but it's not a real long time. And their world is going to be turned upside down. I mean, here they are with the Lord right now. But soon enough, they're going to scatter, and they're going to have, it's going to be the big crisis, but the Lord is in control of all. And teaching them how to pray is very important. And teaching us to pray is also important. It's one of the great tools that God gives us. You know, He gives us a lot of tools. He gives us the Word of God. Literally, we have the words of God here. We have the Word of God. We don't have to worry. We don't have to question what it says. We can simply put our faith in it. We have the Holy Spirit. And that's a wonderful thing, to think that we've got the God triune. Part of that, we've got the Holy Spirit of God within us when we get born again. When we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And we also have the great privilege of prayer. And so we have the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit resides within. And we don't use the power that God has given us in prayer, or the Holy Spirit, I think, a lot of times. It's easy for us to move on. So let's look at the Scripture. We get busy and in our lives, but we want to focus on what the Lord has for us and take full advantage of what He has for us. So let's begin reading in Luke, and we'll read verses 11, chapter 11, verses 5 through 10 here initially. "And He said unto them, Which of you have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," that's an interesting word, "he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for every one that asketh receiveth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the rich privilege and opportunity to be in your house. We just pray you'd have your perfect will. Lord, may you give us what we need here tonight. Lord, just again, just have your perfect will in each life. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So look at the parable. This is a parable. This is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And really what it is it's a sermon illustration by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's got a number of these, but in this, there's a story that He gives us. And now, just imagine, let's kind of set this up. We're not living in the 21st century. You got somebody that's journeying into your house, and they've been walking all night, all day, all night. It's midnight, and you have nothing to give them. You didn't go down to the grocery store and get a loaf of bread. That's not really what this is talking about. Bread is so important. Even now in Israel, we were there a few years ago, had the privilege of going there. There's something about bread in Israel. It's a very, very important part of their diet. One thing, there's a lot of meats they won't eat. They still follow the Levitical law. It's very interesting to be there. But bread had to be made, didn't it? It had to rise. It had to be prepared. He didn't have any bread. And these people aren't coming in their sedan, and it's just like been riding for a few hours. They've been walking, or they've been on the back of an animal. And they don't have anything to give them. He don't have any food in his house. So he goes across to the neighbor. And it's midnight. You ever have to knock on anybody's door late at night? I can remember one time I got stuck in the snow and I had to get a farmer out of bed. I hated to knock on that door. I was like 17 years old. You know what? He was used to it, I guess, because he was so gracious. He came and pulled my truck out that night. But here it is. Now, imagine, we're used to, you know, split level, 3-bedroom home, 2.5-car garage, large homes or comfortable homes. But as you can sort of see as we look at this scripture, what you've really got here is a 1-room house, which is a third world country. In that time, that's what it was. At midnight, you got the kids asleep. We know what that's like, right, Mom? You don't want to wake those kids up once they're in bed. And he knocks on the door, and the guy says, "Get out of here, man. Everybody's asleep." But because of his importunity, now imagine, and keep this in mind, the Lord is teaching them a lesson. He is teaching them how to get your prayers answered. Importunity, it means begging. It means persistence. It means persistent demanding. You know, there are times when we pray, we must pray in the will of God. But do you know, there are some times when we don't have to pray in the will of God. It's always the will of God to save somebody, for instance, right? You don't have to say, if it's thy will, you save this person. No, the Lord died for every human being. And to pray for that, for those to be saved, is so important. And so there are times it's just persistent demanding, God, please save them, right? And so this word, importunity, the Lord is saying this now, imagine, to his disciples. He's giving them this illustration. He's telling them, beg. You know, we have these things, you probably have them here, prayer list. Wednesday night prayer list, right? So if I say, would you please pray for, you know, my mom? See, she'd go on the prayer list. It's great to pray for her once, right? But isn't it great to know that that person on your prayer list is getting prayed for many times by many people? Prayer meeting's a pretty important service, isn't it? I mean, we can come to the Lord at any time. We can come before the throne. It's a wonderful thing. Any moment, any time. But it's also a wonderful thing to be able to come together. And so for importunity, and I can just imagine the Lord has already given them, he recited to them, here's how you pray, our Father which art in heaven. For instance, that's why we say Heavenly Father when we start a prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father. My father-in-law to this day, he uses that. He's 96 years old. And that's the way he starts his prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Just like the Lord's Prayer here. So he teaches them that, but then he teaches them something else. When you have a need, you bring that need before the Lord. And you keep bringing it before the Lord. Because if he went and asked, go on, it's late. But he was going to keep knocking all night, and the guy knew it. And he's like, how many do you want? 3, 4, 15? Whatever you need, take it and get out of here. You're going to wake the whole house up. Now, that's a neighbor that has a sin nature. Yet our God, who is perfect, holy, and righteous, this is him who is saying this. We need to come to before the Lord, and this is a real need. Here's a real need. These people had been on the road all day, and this man that was hosting them, he wanted to be able to help them. He wanted to be able to give them what they needed. And God knows when we need something. And when we need something, we need to come before the Lord. And here's the instruction of that in verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You realize that the Lord gives us the promise of answered prayer. Have you seen prayers answered in your life? Praise God, I have. It's a wonderful thing to bring something before the Lord and see him answer that prayer. You know, we got to be careful, because we can ask and God will answer, and in our busyness and in the fact that we're already focusing on another need, we'll almost miss the fact that he just answered a prayer for us. We have to be very careful about that, and we certainly want to be thankful. Now, I want to look at a couple more parables, and the next one is found in Luke 18. So just take a right there to chapter 18, and we'll notice another one here. Luke 18, this is the parable of the unjust judge. And this particular parable has a lot more serious significance. The first illustration of prayer that the Lord taught his disciples, the sermon illustration, was that there was a need. And the way you get that need met is you knock until God answers that need. You'll notice here, on setting this particular parable up, chapter number 18, verse number 1, he says this, "And he spake a parable unto him to this end, that men ought always to pray and to not faint." Now I want to pause there for just a moment, because I want to come back to this verse and the promise of being able to come before the Lord and get what we need from Him. And it's very, very significant, because I won't ask you to raise your hands. You ever been in a situation where it's so intense that you could almost faint because of it? That's some sort of very serious situation, whether it's family, whether it's illness, whether it's your employment, whatever the case. Bad accident. I mean, there's any number of things that can happen to any of us at any given day. And so you're either going to faint or you're going to pray. And this is where there's some real significance in this particular parable. Let's read the rest of this, verses 2 through 8. And it says this, I read verse 1 there. Let's go to begin there, pick it up then at verse 2. "Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man." We kind of know what that's like sometimes, don't we? "And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor man, yet because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, who he bare long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he will find faith on the earth." Will he find faith on the earth? He's asking a question. And so it takes a measure of faith here, and I want to talk about that. But you'll notice the second, we'll go through these few verses I just read. So here we have the challenge not to faint, but to pray. A much more serious situation. Again, consider the situation, consider the time in world history at that particular point. Here we have a widow, and not a social network of, she can go get a social security check if she needs help. That sometimes that can be helpful. But in this time, there wouldn't have been that. And so she's on her own. She's a widow. The church had and does has responsibility to the widows. She has a problem, and we see there in verse number 3, and she came saying to this judge, avenge me of mine adversary. So there, she has a problem. I would just say there, the judge, he did not fear God. He would probably curse God's name. Profanity. He had no respect for God at all, and he neither regarded man. This woman had a serious situation, but he didn't care about that. It wasn't affecting him. But as we look at the language here, she had an adversary. She had an adversary, and in this particular case, that means that someone was making her life hard. Her life is hard enough as it is. But now she's got more of a problem in that someone is her adversary, and she comes before the judge. And she says, avenge me of mine adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. So, as you look at, one of the neat things about studying the Bible, you can count on the words and the language in the Bible. Here, the Bible, the word avenge, it's to inflict harm in return for injury. This woman had a problem. She was being taken advantage of by someone. And because of that, she had a great need. But the problem is she comes before that judge and he won't hear her. He don't want to give her the benefit of the doubt. So what does she do? It's really the same word. The word is not used here, but the word is importunity. She just keeps coming back. And he says, look, not because I care, but because she's just going to keep bothering me all day long, I'm going to come to her and I am going to relieve her of this need. And because of that, the Lord removes that in this situation. The judge removes that from her. Now compare this. Here you've got the unjust judge on one hand, and on the other hand, you've got a righteous God. And so when we come before the Lord and we have a need, and I mean we have the kind of need that you're not bowing your head and praying for God to help you, but you're getting on your knees and saying, God, help me. You're crying out to God. It's called prayer and supplication. You know what the difference is? If I'm praying for you, but if it's for me, I'm supplication, right? I got a real need in my life. And you can supplicate for somebody else, but many times it's like something's going on and, you know, and we pray. We pray hard and we're concerned about a family situation or some other situation in our lives. So we can either pray or we can faint. Now the Lord asks a question here in verse number 8 and he says this, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth. Now, what about us? Do we have faith? Because there is a great challenge here. And he says this. Again, I want to go back to that first verse. And he spake a parable unto them, and he said this then, that men ought to pray and not faint. So when we have a problem, what do we do about it? And how do we do it? You say, brother, my faith is weak. You ever feel like your faith is weak? You don't have to answer because I know the answer to that. We can all feel that way. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. And I want to point out something here in the sixth verse. There's a couple little illustrations of this. How do we strengthen our faith? What does it take to get our prayers answered? You know, two things we must do with God. We must love Him and we must believe Him. We believe Him enough, believer, to be saved. We believe Him enough to say, I accept the Lord and I know I was born again and I'm on the solid rock. But sometimes we're a little weak in our faith when it comes to really trusting Him with what He wants us to do. Now look at the sixth verse there. I love this verse. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and note this, here's a promise, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, sometimes, you know what you want to do when your faith is weak? Notice what the scripture says here. Diligently seek Him. Because here's the thing. The Lord wants to answer our prayer. He wants us to believe Him. And if our faith is weak, then we need to just keep coming to Him and seeking His Word and seeking His will. There's another passage I want to look at on this same subject. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Mark chapter number 9. Mark 9. Mark 9. Here is a situation. Mark 9:24. Here is the situation. You know, the disciples had already been given here at this point. He'd already given them power to cast out demons and heal. Can you imagine? Here these men were with the Lord and He sent them out and they could cast out demons and they could heal. We see that, particularly here and in the apostolic age, the whole book of Acts, while these men were alive, that God had given them that. So people, those Jews, they needed a sign so they could believe. And here we see that the Lord has been up to Mount Transfiguration. He was being encouraged right before really the descent to the cross. It was his time was approaching. He was being encouraged there in that scene. And he went up there with his inner circle of men. And when he were coming down, there's a big conflict going on. And the disciples had tried to cast the demon out of a young boy that had this demon or this spirit since he was just a youth and younger, just a young boy. And so they're standing there debating all of this. And the Lord walks up and he asks, verse number 21, and he asks his father, how long is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse number 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, do you see that? How God can, if we can believe God, he's going to do a lot more for us. Now notice this man's response. I love this guy's response here in verse number 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You ever been there? Oh, you know you're saved, but your faith is weak. Now, we know this can happen. Look at the disciples. When Jesus, he told them what was going to happen. It completely caught them off guard. And they scattered. John was the only one that stayed at the foot of the cross. Can you imagine standing there and watching that? But they were petrified. They were scared to death. And so if it happened to them, later on, Peter stood up with great boldness because of the Holy Spirit. And he preached and 3,000 souls were saved. And a day or two later, he stands up and he preaches again and another 5,000 souls are saved. But at one point, they were so weak, he was ready to go back out and put the boat back in the water and start fishing. He was completely defeated. And the Lord knows this. And I like this man's, what an honest response. Oh, I believe. Oh, but God. If my son's life is dependent upon it. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, he's a believer. We can all believe more. It's an exercise, isn't it? It's an exercise to be obedient, to believe God. I think most of us don't have a hard problem. I don't. Even before I was saved, I knew this book was the truth. Amen. I feel sorry for a generation of people today that would doubt and deny the Word of God completely. But we have the truth, and we are encouraged here to just really believe strongly. Again, the Lord will bless those that will diligently come before His throne. You want to be blessed by the Lord? You want to strengthen your faith? If you diligently seek Him. What is that? It's called prayer. And so, one more passage tonight that I want to look at. One more parable. It's right back where we started. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Because I wanted to say this. I wanted to say this about answered prayer because this little short parable, just three verses, sums it up, I believe, as the Lord, they just ask Him, teach us to pray, and then He gives them these sermon illustrations. Now notice verse 11. So we're in Luke 11, verse 11. And here's what He says. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? Will you give your son a stone, father, if you did that? Of course not. Or if he asked a fish, will you give, for a fish, give him a serpent? Would you give him a snake if he asked for a fish? Or, verse number 12, if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? All of these things would be very dangerous. You wouldn't do that. Verse number 13, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you see what just happened? In two of the three parables that we've looked at, the Lord brings answered prayer back to spiritual needs. That's what he really wants to strengthen us. We have problems here and now. And isn't God gracious to help us and bless us? Very good. But how much more important is the things of eternity? How much more important are the things of spirituality? Because one day, all of this will no longer be. Think of the gift of God that he has given us. He's given us eternal life. And he keeps bringing these parables back. You know, it's like you've got a very powerful tool, believer, but if you're going to effectively use it, your prayers must be used in a spiritual way. Pray for the salvation of souls. Pray for fellow believers, spiritually speaking. Pray for your church, spiritually speaking. Take your pastor, hold him up in prayer every day. These are the things that, you know, if you start there with your prayer life, God will open up the doors and give you. You don't have to ask the will of God to say, I'm gonna pray for my pastor that God bless him. That's the will of God. God wants to bless him. God wants to bless all of us. And so we can come, I just like that word, importunity. We can come begging before, you know, you don't use that word every day. But it's urgency. You're coming before the Lord with urgency. Here he was at the very eve of a very close timeline that he's going to be, he's going to be on the cross. And how do we know when the Lord returns? It could happen tonight the Lord could return. You know, I have a good friend in the Philippines. I'll just close with this. His name is Steve Arcega. He's a Filipino. That's really not his name. I can't pronounce his name. But when he comes, I've got to know him. I've known him for years. And Brother Steve Arcega has probably planted 30 churches. They have a welfare system in the Philippines. But the government says if you don't go to Brother Arcega's Bible study program, you can't get a welfare check. You've got to study the Bible if you want that. He started a police ministry. Locally, a number of policemen, Filipino policemen have been saved, and now he's over a national Filipino police, the whole national police there in the Philippines, like the FBI, I guess it would be. And he called, and he's so hoarse, he called me Friday night. We'd been up to my daughter's in Rantua for a birthday party for a granddaughter, and coming back, he called me. Of course, it's morning there. And he's so hoarse, it doesn't even sound like him. He drove 7 hours to preach. Several people, over a dozen, get saved. And he drives back 7 hours and he's catching a few Z's because he gets up at 5 a.m. and prays. And he had a morning Bible study and another 11 people got saved. People are coming in. Pastors, he's had revival services. If other denominations, pastors have come in. Several other pastors have been saved. So we're going to start a new work. We're going to call it something else, but we're going to preach the gospel. These men, like three pastors in the last week, have been born again. And he said, "Brother, I'm not doing anything different. I'm doing everything the same." And I'm thinking, you know, the Lord will draw at the end time. Where there can be a great revival breakout. You got to have an open heart to do that. God help us. If we can't have a revival in America, it's so desperately needed. God help us that we could see our roots of our nation. Go back to where it all started. God's grace. This nation was established so that the Word of God could be proclaimed. Praise God we can still come in here tonight. We don't have to worry about being arrested. We still have freedoms to reach out to people and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you in that. And then I would be remiss to stand up here tonight and preach and to say simply say this. You must be born again. It always bears, always say it. Have you really been saved? I wouldn't want to make anyone doubt their salvation, but you must be born again. So if you're here tonight, God's touched your heart on any matter of these. I know we can all do better. You ever feel like you can do better in your prayer life? Isn't it the first thing to kind of slip when you get a little too busy? Bible reading and prayer. So great, powerful tools that God has given us. Let's use them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, I'll have you come, Brother McPhillips. God bless you.
We'll just take a time here to examine our hearts. Morris spoke to us from God's Word. So it was God's Word, many parables that we looked at here tonight on this matter of prayer. As I spoke this morning with my Sunday school class, we have a prayer list that we go through. But is that really communicating with God? Communing with God? How long has it been since you have communed with God without a prayer list? And the challenge this morning was, how would it feel if you prayed without a prayer list? Would there be a feeling of, I don't know what I would say? Your Heavenly Father that died for you. Think of it. And we wouldn't know what to say to Him. That should be a marker that we need to do something about this matter of prayer, communicating with God. Then I challenged them with the idea of whether you're left hand or right hand, try to write your name using the opposite hand. It's going to feel awkward. It's not going to look very good. But the more you practice with that hand, the better it looks and the more normal it feels. So it is with prayer. It's no different than going up to a stranger and carrying on a conversation that you don't know. It's going to feel awkward. It's going to sound awkward. And if that's how it is between you and God without a prayer list, folks, I hope you would see, you need to spend some time talking with God. So that that relationship becomes natural and normal. Morris mentioned about the need for our sins to be forgiven tonight. And if there's someone here who doesn't know that they would be in heaven if they died tonight, I firmly believe God brought you here just to have this invitation given to you. I want to invite you to accept Christ tonight. In just a moment, we're all going to stand. Our heads are going to be bowed, our eyes closed. The instruments will play. And I want to invite you to just step out from where you're at. Please meet me here at the front. And let that relationship with God begin tonight. I'll have someone pray with you and show you some scripture to understand what it means to have a relationship. And then, Christian, now's our time to be intentional. We've heard God's word. In His grace, He has given us truth spoken to our heart. Now, what will we do with it? Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that Your Spirit would be allowed to work in hearts here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.